David said, just write this down. I'm not going to turn to you. 1 Corinthians 22, verse 14. David said, I took much trouble. He recognized this thing. He's beginning to know why not. It's about the keeping charge of the sanctuary. This is not about a cool commission. I always tell people, you know, especially if I go somewhere, help them start house of prayer, they say, just enjoy yourself. The first day when you start, yeah, we are starting 24-7 house of prayer. Tomorrow is like, wow, it's not going to end until Jesus returned. Novelties will die. That's where we need to understand someone. Why am I here? No, I'm here for refreshing. I'm here for, not refining, I use the word refining, refining too. I'm here for intimacy. I'm here for whatever, whatever. Let me tell you this. If you are signing up for all this refreshing and so on without understanding God's desire, resting place, I'll explain to you what does that mean. Then you don't realize this. It's not worth keeping charge of sanctuary night and day, nay and night. It doesn't make sense for the time and the energy because there are many revival breaks out throughout history. There's no 24-7. We need to understand what this is about. It is demanding. It is costly. It is difficult. No, recognize it again. That's why I'm not in a hurry because if you work out your Psalms, we need at least 150 to 200 full-time staff. 200 before we can go 24-7. I'm not in a hurry. But I'm intense about it. But watch out for this danger. Complaining about the day. Just accept it. Just accept it, okay? It's a difficult one. It is. David understood it, okay? The third one. We are discouraged or sometimes we even despise ourselves because of his hiddenness or smallness. Smallness in terms of even recognition. Does anything happen? Have we created any impact or influence and so on? We have. I'm not going to tell you today. This is not the time. We have. Okay, but these are the things that eats us up a lot of time because one of the vital criteria or character about doing house of prayer is this thing called faithfulness. Day in, day out. Thank God here got no snow, no storm, no icy road, no. So nothing will break down, but don't say again. No, I suddenly poof, breaks down. You know, in IHOP, they have a few times over the years, the ice storm cut off power, everything shut down, no power, no electricity, no nothing for 2 weeks in winter, no AC. How do you do keyboard? You can't. You cannot get in to go there, run, create some energy, you know. So they just put a candle and play guitar. That's it. They don't stop. You know, we like this idea of keep the fire non-stop. Music never stop. Wait till you are doing it. Ask Joshua. Ask Annabelle. We were there. I make them sit through 6 hours. After a while, thank God. No, maybe they are not. I say, Kichong, you insult me. I want to burn 16 hours. You tell me 6 hours. So you need to understand this. Watch out so that these things don't eat you up, recognizing it. And see, about the difficulty part, get over it. If we keep going on, say, hey, make it easy, is there a nine more easy? It will not be easy. Actually, now is the easiest. When we go 24-7, oh man, throw in all the human dynamics, logistic admin, thank God for Cynthia. I just want to love Jesus. Thank God for Annabelle. Thank God for Sarah. I just want to love Jesus. It's demanding. We have to recognize it so that we know why we are here. So that we don't get, it's difficult, how, and so on. It is difficult. Talk to David. Say, how? Read 1 Chronicle. David said, it's much trouble. And the last one is mocking spirit. That's where Nehemiah 4, verse 1. I'm going to turn to it. What's the guy's name? Sambalak. Mock them. They are, watch out for people who mock us in very common. Sometimes it's out of that good intention. Don't do this. You're wasting your time. Why fast so long? You know, so on and whatever. Waste so much money. So on. Just love Jesus enough. No, we have to understand. Watch out some of this thing. So be watchful. Watch out some of this thing so that we do not lose the excitement. These are some things that drain. That I know it because after a while, people tell me, hey, Kechong, don't be so hung up about 24-7. After I hear 10 times, it's like, maybe God is speaking to me. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I slow down, less intense a little bit. Chew. Let's chew a little bit. Go Starbucks, drink a few cups of latte. You love Jesus. Sincere is enough. You know. So some of this thing we have to watch. If not, we lose that resolve. We lose that joy. We lose that excitement. So that's watch. Second, strengthen. Strengthen what has become weak. What has become weak? Resolve, zeal, or excitement? Ask God to help. And God is gracious. And he has been speaking to me about 24-7 over the last 6 months. So it's kind of like strengthening my resolve. I say, yes, God. Yes. He even helped me. Give me a contact to a very rich guy. So I'm praying about it. If God give me the green, I'm going to talk to this person. For a head start, I'm asking for 1 million. Not for myself. 1 million, wow. Can get a few guys. Maybe. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm talking about that. Ask God how to strengthen what has become weak. There are three keys, okay? I'm going to give you three keys. How do you do that, okay? How do you? First one is, I'm going to elaborate a little bit. I just tell you, is what? Go and look at the Bible. What is the biblical reason? I'm going to give you eight quickly. Second, understand what this commission is about. Understand what this commission is about. Third, celebrate the privilege that you are invited to this assignment. Because that strengthens, that gets you excited. You say, wow, I'm doing this. You know, I look at this verse, I'm excited. When I was 23 years old as a Christian, I tell myself, I'm going to do Psalms 27:4. I'm doing it now. When we were talking about that, I was like, you know, we talk, you know, I make few good friends, say, my funeral must use this verse. What do you want to do? I say, all the days of my life in the house of the Lord. Then we are talking, you know, that was in the late 80s. You know, that's how old I am. Late 80s, some of you are not even in the mother's womb yet. Yeah. Then I'm talking about it. And that. Then they say, what's your dream? I say, I want to live out Psalms 27:4. In the house of the Lord, all the days. Why am I complaining? I cannot complain. Say, God, I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wow. If I complain, Jesus said, didn't you say you want to do this? Sometimes we have to record. Then every time, that's why I record, say, wow, I'm doing this. And also, wow. That's the key thing. 8 biblical reasons. I'm going to give you quick. So that, go and search it yourself about this 24-7, what this is about. 8 reasons. I'm going to be quick. Okay. If not, I'm going to type out notes, put on the web. Okay. First one is eternal. Eternal. Revelation 4 and 5. Evangelism will cease. Mission will cease. There'll come a day all this will cease. Great Commission will cease. Worship and prayer is forever. It's eternal. We have a head start. We have a head start. Good reason. Second, our eternal identity and our eternal function. Do you know that our highest identity is to be a house of prayer? You know why it's the most exalted occupation for a redeemed? Worship and prayer. We are created for that. Why God give you a voice? Scold people. No, talk to God and sing praises. We have a head start. Okay. Third, Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Fourth, it's biblical. The Jew understand why they gather. There are three reasons why they gather. One of it is to have a continuous worship and prayer without ceasing. It's not, they don't even need to debate. We are still debating. But when you go to the New Testament church doctrine, 24/7 prayer is always central to the early church. Yes. I know people say, but you didn't mention the book of Acts. Don't need to mention. That's like Singapore. I see one example. You go to the building, is there a toilet or no toilet? Sure have, right? You don't need to ask a toilet or not. It's a non-issue. I know I use a funny example. Yeah. So it's biblical. That's the third one. Fifth one. What we are doing is the foreshadow of Matthew 6, verse 10. May your kingdom, no, on earth as it is in heaven. The first movement that is will be on earth that is in as it is in heaven. You know what's the first movement? Prayer and worship movement. House of prayer movement. Of course, the fullness is Revelation 21, verse 3. Father and his throne will come down on earth and tabernacle with man forever. That's the fullness of Matthew 6, 10. But the first movement that will live out Matthew 6, 10 is the house of prayer movement. Oh, I'm signing up, man, if you're not. I will take your seat if you don't want. Fifth is prophetic. Prophetic. There are 40 over scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that prophesy about that rising up of the global prayer movement and the worship movement at the end of the age. That's the fifth one. Sixth, historical. Historical. Throughout history, there are always 24/7 prayer and worship movement. We heard of Hand Hook. Another very famous one is Bangalore in Ireland. There are always seven. The last one, seven, current, which is what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing right now. There are at least conservatively estimation 5,000 houses of prayer all over nations. Very conservatively. 5,000. No, at the meeting last year in Kansas City, the goal is it 100,000? I can't remember. About 100,000 if I'm not wrong. So that's a seven current. Number eight, to be faithful to the divine invitations. To the faithful. So that is it. Eight biblical reason. Give you a second one so that you understand what this commission is all about. You need to understand why David make the vow in Psalms 132. Why David make the... Why you raise up your hand? You want to tell me something, is it? Oh, nine reasons, is it? Okay, see, I can't count. Okay. Night and day and night is five words. This is, yeah, that's why I'm a minister. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I don't insult a lot of people. Okay. We need to understand what is this 24/7 commissioned. Then you will celebrate the privilege. Why David? No, don't give technical reason. Technical reason is easy. Why David make the vow in Psalms 132? What did he say? Luke, just pray. I will not enter into my chamber or give myself sleep until. No, he's not talking about that. He's not sleeping or whatever. That means basically David is saying this. I will not live life business as usual. Well, it's a nice statement to say. To actually do it is quite challenging. I will not live life business as usual until. Because David understood something. He paid a cost. He paid a price. If you read Psalm 69, verse 9, no one who wants to do 24/7 house of prayer, you will not pay a price. Right? You will. That's why your reward has to be Jesus. There will be. People call you fanatical, you're crazy, Chinese New Year coming, staff. How? It's like David said, zeal for his house has consumed me. His reproach has become my reproach. He must be being mocked or whatever, and so on and so on, being misunderstood. That's why we need to understand so that we know how to watch out for the danger, because constantly there'll be people mocking. Why are you overdoing it? No. That is the key thing. Turn with me to Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Because this commission is about establishing a resting place for God. But it's a huge word, but what does that mean? Isaiah 66, verse 1 said this: Heaven is my throne. Earth, I challenge you to pray this prayer. Ask God to reveal his heart to you. About Isaiah 66, 1. No, I seriously ask us, especially in this 21-day fast, our heart is tender and so on. Hear how he feels until a tears come to your eyes. Ask God to speak to us. What is this commission about? You know, it's always called, God, I'm expecting a resting place. What do you mean by resting place? God said this, Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built me? Where is the place of my rest? What is this resting place? Actually, it's not just a... No, yes, it's true. It's both people as well as a place. But the key is not just a location or people just come play good music and so on. No, when God talks about, I'm looking for a resting place, David used the word dwelling place. Both are synonymous. But the key is this, when God looking for a resting place, that means he's saying that I'm coming to a place with people that when I come, I don't have to wrestle with them. They are in full agreement with my heart. They know my heart. They understand my heart. They know what I want. They are there like what John the Baptist said. Jesus, I'm here for you. I stand and hear your voice. Of course, as a result, the expression is worship and prayer. But ultimately, it's about agreement. Day and night, night and day, God, we are agreeing with you. Genesis 6, verse 3 says what? Why God wiped out the entire human race except Noah, his wife, and sons, daughter-in-law, and so on. 8 person plus lots of animal. Imagine, outnumber human being. I think first time in human history. I don't know, maybe now still the same. Why? Genesis 6:3, what does God say? He's striving with man. It's the opposite of he finding a place of rest, because finally he found a group of people that he does not have to wrestle. He can rest. Agreement, that's the privilege. I tell you, it's simple, it's profound, but is very dear to God's heart. He's looking for people who agree. I think, wow, what a privilege. Then you will bypass every bad music and so on and so on. Because God is not interested in your music. He's interested in us here agreeing with you. You think music is for God? No, it's to help us to endure. No. Wait till you go to heaven, you hear heavenly worship, you come back and say, wow, man, paise. It's for us. But the key, what does God want? Agreement. He's looking for 24/7. We are agreeing. Yes, God, I agree with you. That's why we make this prayer. You know, we always make this prayer. You know, not always, quite often. You know, once in a while, we do say that, Jesus, I'm here for you. We are here for him to agree with his heart. That is what David understood. Agreement. Simple, profound, but it's very dear and precious to God's heart. No, not just, oh yeah, I love Jesus, you know. Yes, it's the Mary of Bethany call. It's the Anna call. It's a friend of the bridegroom call. But it's also about contending for God to break in. The resting place of God is where historic breakthrough of God break out. That's what I'm contending for. You know, what happened in Acts 2? Actually, Acts 1 first and Acts 2. There is the local upper room that birthed the local outpouring of the Spirit. that resulted in the global impact where gospel go to nations. God is one more time raising up resting place. Now it's global. There's going to be a global upper room that will birth a global outpouring. And the impact, more than just nation, is going to change human history. We're going to transit from this human age to the millennial age. That's where we are going. And David understood. That's why, am I praying? This whole 21 day, I only have one verse. You know, every time I say, there you go again. It's Isaiah 63, verse 15. God, where is your zeal? Where is your strength? Where is the yearning of your heart? Why is there constraint? That's what it is about. I'm not just praying for a local revival. I'm praying for a revival to break. I say, no, humbly, God, don't mind. If you don't mind, begin here. If you don't mind, that we will impact nations. Why not? I know. So I say, why not? That's why last few nights, I mean, until this week, this week 12 o'clock is like, sleep already. Unfortunately, 4 a.m. I wake up. Last week, every night before I sleep, I watch all the past revival. It all started with so-called nobodies. I'm nobody. Maybe you are somebody, but not. But I can pray. God, where is your zeal? Why is there any constraint? Do not hold back. We don't want X then. We want X now. Why not us? That's what it is about. Resting place. Dwelling place. That's what Zechariah 8:23 is all about. It's the same. Resting place is also a refuge place. You know why? If God is here, there'll be answer for people. There'll be answer for nations. People come in here depressed. They need an answer. God touched them. People come in here, they need a healing. God touched them. That's why I was glad, Annabelle has this vision, her own vision when she worship. Sing or dance. Also can roll on the floor. When she worship, healing will break out. Or something like that. Or you say yourself, I don't know. Something like that. Is it something like that? Yes or no? Okay. Then why you like make me like, did I say anything wrong? No, just kidding. Yeah, I love that. When we worship, healing break out, people walk in and so on. That is a refuge place. But of course, it's bigger. There's something bigger about God needing a refuge place because storm is coming. The house of prayer cannot become weaker. We have to become stronger by the grace of God. I have 10 minutes. I'm going to do fast. Okay, I skip many. Take me to 2 Chronicles 7. I'm sharing this so that we will run together. Can I humbly say this? I want to humbly say this. I'm pretty confident that even on my own, I think I can stand. But that's not the point. I want to run with a community. I want to do it together with a group of people. That's what it is about. So I'm not scolding. I say, let's sign up again. Let's do it. No, I'm not. All of us have different difficulty and challenges. We need to have wisdom. No, some mother have kids. I'm not saying you've forsaken them. Or another judgment. No, neglect your children and so on. No, ask God for wisdom in different capacity. You as a baby. Baby, no problem. Maybe just sleep and drink milk. Okay. You as a student, how does it apply to you? You as a single, how does it apply to you? You who are just married or going to be married. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, how does this apply to you? You who have kids and so on, have full-time job. How does it apply to you? The agreement with God. So that we all ask God for wisdom and arrange ourselves instead of, No, if God has invited you, don't shortchange yourself. No. Don't shortchange yourself. Take me to 2 Corinthians 7. There are a few invitations that God has been speaking to me. When I say God speaking to me, it's to us too. He's saying, I don't want. No, you're here, it's us. Okay. No choice. Okay. Just kidding. Either one is okay. Okay. Turn me to 2 Corinthians 7:14. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to come back to the, going to go quick then, come back to remember. And so, yeah, no time to share even the vision. Doesn't matter. Okay. 2 Corinthians 7:14. There are few things that God is inviting us. No, when I say inviting us, there's always grace. But don't, grace doesn't mean that you'll be easy. Grace means that we can. And don't wait until easy. It's not going to be easy. I watch all the revival in the past history. You say, man, it's tiring, man. Plus all the criticism and so on. I say, man, it's tiring. Am I signing up for this? Yes. Okay, do it. Fine. Okay. One of the things that God is really inviting us is the 2 Chronicles 7:14 to 16 call. This is about the refuge place. God is looking for a group of people that will do the 14th. He will respond the 15th. And there's something even more, 16. You know? I have this habit is when God speaks to one verse, I stop there. I think God says, Kichong, after 3 months, can you read the next verse? Okay, you read the next verse 15. After that, can you read the next verse? Okay, maybe it's just God knows. Just let him then digest first. If not, cannot take it. Okay. I mean, some of you all know. I mean, God spoke to me in 2 Corinthians 7:14 what's the place? JDOP. There are moments where I know that God spoke. It's not like, is he or is he not? You know, is he? No, I know he spoke. He invite us. I'm going to just run through quickly. Verse 14. That's why I make a deal with God. No, this year I make a few deals with God. But thank God he's faithful. I'm not. He will help me. Okay, but I'm just make a deal. Say, I will do the verse 14 faithfully. Because I want the verse 15. And God says something more. Look at verse 16. Say, wow. Let's go. Verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. Listen to verse 15. I'm praying. No, I will do the verse 14 so that verse 15 will happen. When we pray, God's hand move. When we pray all that, we humble ourselves, we pray, we fast, we seek his face, so on. People come into this place, they are touched by God. Because why? Verse 15 says this. Now my eyes will be opened. My ears attentive to prayer. Make where? Make where? In this place. No, this is personal. I'm saying yes. Listen to verse 16. For now, I have, it's like invitation. Will you say yes? For now, I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name will be there. You know, every time God mentioned about name, you know what it means? That means he will reveal himself. He will. And I this word is like confirmed when I was in member Kansas City. Sabrina said about that, the revelation. This year is about that. God is going to give us the knowledge of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to claim it. But we have to do the verse 14. My name will be there. What else? My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. It means we will know what God sees and what he feels. Wow, I want that. So that for what? Write books? Do conference? No, I agree with him. I'm here to agree with him. I'm here to agree with him. Of course, another invitation. Again, I'm not saying that we are going to do it or not. No, I'm going to set my heart because that's the original invitation. Again, I was in, this time around is in, a lot of times when God say this kind of thing, I wasn't even paying attention. JDOP, I was tired. I was kind of thinking, well, Joel bluff me. Not Joel yap, Joel cold. Tell me got aircon, but hot like don't know what. You know, yeah, I was kind of tired. Then everything was loud. You know, we were sitting there. Well, the music was kind of drowning my ears. You know, so then God began to speak. Okay, it's the same in Kansas City. I was sitting in the prayer room. I wasn't paying much attention. My back was painful. It was December 24. I remember it was a Christmas Eve. I was sitting in the room and tired. You know, yeah. So I was thinking, wow, my back is so painful. You know? So I take out my iPhone. Guess what I'm doing? Not reading the Bible verse. I go into United Airlines website, trying to upgrade my seat to economy plus. So yeah, it's true. I tell you, holy, faithful. No, you're all weak. It's only it's God speaks. So I was flip. And then suddenly, I know here, but it never get here. Suddenly I see, I'm not saying open vision, I was caught up or whatever. Suddenly I see and understood about this worship, singing, praise, prayer never cease in heaven. It dawns on me. It's like the reality of Revelation 4 and 5. I sitting there, it's like, I forgot to switch off so thank God it never charged me or whatever. And then that moment, you know, this Psalms 132 vow becomes so real to me. I make a vow with the Lord God. I make a vow. I want to see that there will be a 24/7 house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David in Singapore. There will be a night and day worship and prayer. Not necessarily has to be me, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to pray. I'm going to provoke. I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk loud so that if some people feel jealous, they say, no, I'm going to beat you. Say, great. Like what Paul said, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do what I can. And he really challenged me. I haven't come to that part yet. I watched that. Can I go another 10 minutes? I watched that video by Lou Enger about why he started the call. He said, I tell you why God used men like him. He was sitting there wanting for revival and so on. So he read that passage of scripture, Matthew 13, about a merchant or a man who found that precious pearl or something like that and sold everything to buy that. And God began to speak to him. You know what? How Lou Enger responded? He said, there has to come a time someone has to want something so bad and sold everything and go for it. You know what happened to Lou Enger? He sold his house so that he has money to rent. I don't know how much his house costs. I sold my house. I don't even get one room in National Stadium. He sold his house so that he can make that call for young people to rally to pray for revival. Wow. I only make a vow. I don't know. Maybe one day God may tell me, sell everything. Will you do it? I don't know. I may, but I'm going to make that vow. I make that vow right there before the Lord in the prayer and say, God, like David, I'm going to tell you, I will go for it. I'm going for it. I don't know whether I can. Maybe it's not me. I don't care. I'm going to do it. Just write this verse down. I don't know. I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 8. 2 Chronicles 6, chapter 6. Because many people always ask me, what if you don't achieve it? It's okay. 11 years after David died, God spoke to Solomon. You know what God told Solomon? David has done well. The fact that he set his heart. No, not this. Okay. I can. No, it's serious. David has done. I don't care. If I never really, not me, but I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm going to listen. Not listen to say, hey, don't be crazy and so on and so on. I'm going for it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what I can. Hopefully I don't offend anybody. I'm going to go for it. No, I don't know. I'm not asking. No, never sell your house until the Lord tells you. Yeah, because then you have to become a poor. No. But when it comes a time, then it's different. So that's the invitation. That's why this 21-day fast, one of the major things we are praying is night and day prayer. It's time that we rise up and say, God, we're going to do it. No, I'm not saying go and do it. I'm not saying we quit job and whatever. No, I'm embracing this call, this privilege, this high privilege of I can have the privilege and the honor of standing here and agreeing with God night and day, day and night. How many people has the privilege? Not many. I'm having the privilege. Okay, remember, the word remember. That means recall how God has invited you. Why are you here? This is important so that you don't lose that joy and the excitement after a while. Say, why am I here? Why am I doing this? GBF again, 21 day fast. This ministry, you always don't eat. We have a lot of don't eat time on, though. Yeah, I tell you, after 21 day fast, I'm really thinking of something further down. Already. So fasten your seatbelt. No, actually not fasten your seatbelt. Tighten your belt. Yeah. So, no, you have to understand why it's not about, yeah, don't eat again. It should be called no eat ministry. No, you have to remember, why are you here? That is the key thing. Next one, hold fast. You need all the above so that you hold fast, you don't quit. No, sometimes I feel sad. I don't have a problem, people leave and so on, or you feel that this is not for you and whatever. But the saddest thing is the moment is difficult. Most people quit. Most people quit. No, I'm not upset or whatever, but it's sad because we are shortchanged by the very things that God has called. Don't quit. Hold fast. It's difficult. It is difficult. But I understand the privilege and the joy and the great. I tell you, yesterday I was sitting at a meeting. I was so blessed because that's what I want. You know? Someone make this comment. You know? Yeah, I know there are many houses of prayer. You know? But you come to this house, of course, I know last year, compare like whatever ministry, good music, anointed, whatever. You know? I know, yeah, my ministry music not so good. Like, I know. And so I say, But, you know, wow, that one is like I controlling, no, don't cry. Got so many young people inside, you know. She said, but there's something different about this house. Every time I come to this house, I want to love Jesus more. I want to know Jesus more. I say, wow, yeah, that is right. It's about passion for Jesus. That is what it is about, isn't it? So don't quit if it's difficult. If God invited us, it's okay. You think it's not difficult for me? It's difficult, man. That's how the first day I said, oh, I'm depressed. I asked my wife. I remember Raymond Ho and the wife come. No mood to eat even. Yeah, the airport said, it's not. Doesn't make it. They come back. Hold fast. Last one, repent. You know, repent means what? Do something. Do something. No, do something. I'm not saying that you quit your. Everything you need wisdom, but that. We have to rearrange. Get back that zeal. Get back that resolve. Get back. If not, you know what Jesus said? You go back to Revelation 3, verse 3. I'll come like a thief. That means we will suffer loss. Suffer loss, not, no, you die or whatever. You lost the very thing that God has for you. You know, I say it. It's very, sometimes very subtle. The fragrance of Jesus is so strong. When he left, it still lingers for a long time. Sometimes we don't even realize. That's why we need to watch. We need to strengthen. We need to remember. We need to hold fast. We need to repent. You know why? If we people who don't watch, don't remember, don't recall, we don't even realize when the Lord has gone. No, gone now means, I know, people quote this verse, Hebrew 13, he never leave us for a second. Of course, he never leave us for a second. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that invitation that he comes to us. He's gone. He's moved on. That will be so, so sad. No, it's a strong word. It's a sober word. But God wants to re-invite us. One last passage. Turn me to Luke 18. Luke 18. You know, God spoke to me last Sunday. I tell you honestly, during this last 2 weeks fast, it was kind of funny. 4 o'clock, we start, we pray. By 6, 4 p.m., by 6 p.m., I'll take a nap. Yeah, ask Annabelle. Annabelle can understand. I'll take a nap. So that was Sunday night, you know. We start 7:30. I was sleeping there, actually. Cynthia know lah. He said, when I lean there, open up my Bible, pretend one. I'm not meditating. I'm trying to engage, you know. I can't remember who was leading. So after a while, someone was praying there. Yeah, I kind of woke up. Okay, better pray. Already. Sleep enough. Already. Don't slumber. It's time to awake, you know. Yeah, so take me to Luke 18. Luke. And God began to speak to me. Okay. No, it's a good word. It's a reminder. Take me to Luke 18. We are familiar with Luke 18. We are all familiar with Luke 18. I just want to read the last verse. That's where the Lord asks me, will I find you faithful when I return? Will I find faith when I return? No, the word faith is in the context of watching, praying, keeping the fire burning. Luke 18, verse 8 said this. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The Lord spoke to me. Will I find faith when I return in this house? In this house. You know, there's a word that has been going on for years about this prayer movement thing, you know. I have always been taking time to ponder about it because it's serious. You know? The word is this. Many have said yes, but not many have done it. I'm not saying this as a judgment. I'm saying this so that we realize. It's an audible voice of God who spoke from heaven. Many has said yes, but not many has done it. It's true. And I say, yeah, no grace. No? Do you think that those people didn't do it because there's no grace? If God has invited, no, the issue is not the issue of grace. The issue is the issue of you have to decide. No matter how hard it is, you have to decide. Many have said yes, but not many have done it. So I want to end with this. I know just like I end last week, I Hope One Thing Ministry. Will the Lord find faith when he returns in this house? I Hope One Thing Ministry. Will the Lord find faith in this house when he returns? Why don't we all stand? I'm going to say a prayer. Never mind, I'm too late anyway. Yeah. Take this seriously. Go back and wrestle with God. Okay. Anyway, I just give you just a minute. Just I know it's late. Just a minute. Respond to God. We don't have to do it here. You can go home and whatever. But take this seriously. Wrestle with God and see what God is saying to each and every one of us. Just take a minute, no? Just talk to God. Yeah, I'm going to just close in prayer. This is not a word of condemnation. This is not a word of rebuke. This word of that. The Lord is tenderly beckoning us to remember.